Chapter of John. Pick up where we left off last week. We'll review just a moment, and then we'll move on. I think perhaps we'll read together the first 11 verses. That's the passage we're chewing on now. And perhaps you just read aloud with me verses 1 through 11, John chapter 10. The story about, or the parable about the shepherd. Let's begin there. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. All right, we discussed this at some length last week, and we saw that the sheepfold that Jesus is describing here, we talked about it from the standpoint of the natural, how Jesus is using a natural example here to illustrate a deeply important truth. The sheepfold represents in the natural was a place where the shepherds brought at night all of their sheep and put the flocks together, their individual flocks, together in the sheepfold for protection. It was one door, usually a rock wall around it. Through the one door came the shepherds and the sheep, and there was at the door a porter who made sure that that no one got in except someone who had legal right to enter. And that way the sheep were protected. The next morning the shepherds would come. They would call their own sheep by name. The sheep, recognizing their shepherd's voice, would follow the individual shepherds out into grazing. And then, of course, they'd come back in the evening. The spiritual implications here. We saw that the sheepfold represented a place of safety and a place of protection, a place of security. The porter was the one who guards the entrance to that place of security and that place of safety and protection. The door is the entrance itself. It is the only lawful place where a person may enter. Now, there may be those that would try to get in other ways, but there's only one lawful means of entry, and that is through the door. The shepherd was not necessarily the owner of the sheep, but rather the one who was charged with the custody of the sheep. He was the one that was charged by the owner with responsibility for the sheep, to oversee them, to protect them, to feed them, to look after them, to minister to them in their needs, and so on. And we saw the thief was the person who tried to come in some other way because he would not meet the conditions, nor did he have any legal right to come in the lawful way. And so he would try to sneak up and over and to come in another way. Now, Jesus said about himself in the 7th verse, I am the door of the sheep. And by saying that, he is describing the fact that he is the only lawful or legal way by which a person who's a sheep, who would be the sheep in this scenario here? We would be the sheep. People are the sheep. And Jesus is telling these Pharisees and scribes here that he is the only lawful entryway into the sheepfold. That if sheep want to enter this place of protection and security, and we said last week that that represented the kingdom of God, didn't we? that entrance into the kingdom of God comes only through the door, and Jesus is through the door. Jesus is the door, I'm sorry. And it would be similar to his saying, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man comes unto the Father except by me. This is the same thing. This is just a different way of saying, I am the only way that a man may enter the kingdom of God. I am the only way by which a man gains access to eternal life. There is no other way. He said those that are trying to come in a different way, instead of coming in through the door, through me, everyone that is trying to find salvation in another way is what? A thief and a robber. Now, it doesn't say that his desire is wrong. His desire to enter the kingdom, his desire to have eternal life, his desire to have the safety and security and so on of the sheepfold is not wrong. What is wrong is that he is unwilling to enter the legal way. He has chosen his own way to try to get in. That makes him a thief, and that makes him a robber. It is not a thievery for him to want what's inside. That's not the problem. The problem is how he goes about getting it. In the same way, that is not wrong for a person to want enough money to buy food. It's quite proper for a man to go to work and earn that money to buy food. But it would be quite improper for him to break into a bank. You see, the desire for the funds is not the problem. It's how he goes about obtaining them. That's the problem. And if he goes out and works and earns the money, then that's a legal way of obtaining those benefits, and there's no law against that. But if he goes out and breaks a bank, then the arm of the law is going to be on him. He's a thief and a robber, and he will not get the benefits of what he's trying to obtain, and plus he'll have to be punished because he tried to break in another way. The same with those who are trying to obtain spiritual benefits and spiritual blessings, eternal life particularly, by some other means. All right, now, we said that Jesus, being the good shepherd, where he called himself also in verse 11, the good shepherd, that he knows his lambs and his sheep by name, that he knows every one. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture this morning in the morning service. We're going to be reading around this passage. But where it talks about how God knows the number of hairs on our head, and you've seen the sign on the scripture on the sign when you came. How many of you noticed the scripture on the sign when you came by this morning? How many of you had your eyes open when you came down the road this morning? Why aren't you looking at the sign? It's the Word of God. We put that out there so that people will read it. And what it says is you are of more value than many sparrows today. You have more value than many sparrows. And it's that same passage where Jesus had said, not a sparrow falls to the ground without your Father seeing them. And what's a sparrow worth? You can buy two of them for a penny. And then he said, the hairs on your head are numbered by God. You're of more value than many sparrows. God really cares about us. And he knows us by name. He knows us individually. And in the third and the fourth verse, we're told that the shepherd, when he goes forth, when he comes in the morning to lead the sheep out, he calls them by name, they recognize his voice, and they, according to verse 4, what do? The sheep what? They follow him. Any indication here that they balk? Any indication of any resistance here? None. When he speaks their name, they recognize it, he goes out before them, and they follow after him. Verse 5 tells us that they will not recognize the voice of a stranger, that they will not follow the devil in this regard. They will not follow the devil's disciples in this regard because they're not tuned in to his wavelength. They don't recognize his voice. They are so close to the shepherd that they recognize only his voice, and when someone comes trying to imitate the voice of the shepherd, they won't even recognize that voice. They don't pay it any attention, and they will not follow it. And this is typical now of how it is with Christians, how it ought to be with Christians. Now, obviously, if sheep are constantly fooling around with thieves, then they will have difficulty discerning the difference between the shepherd's voice and the thief's voice, won't they? And you see, if a person is, let me give you a simple example. If a sheep is continually reading the word of the shepherd, and doesn't read anything else, then the only thing he'll respond to is the word of the shepherd. But if he doesn't read very much of the word of the shepherd, he reads only the words of thieves. When the thieves speak, he'll be prone to follow that, won't he? If he listens to gospel music, brother, he will tend to respond to that kind of ministry. But if he's a Willie Nelson fan, to use your example, then he's going to respond to Willie Nelson. And when he picks up the newspaper and he sees something Willie Nelson wrote, he's, ooh, he gets all excited over something Willie Nelson says. And he begins to follow thieves and robbers. Now, what Jesus is describing here is the way it ought to be. Unfortunately, it's not always that way. Some sheep do listen to the voices of thieves and robbers because they have made the voice of thieves and robbers familiar to them. If you understand, how many of you understand what I'm saying? Let me see your hands if you understand that. Okay. Now, we are seeing here about Jesus that he is both the door and he is the shepherd. As I've been thinking about that, a verse of scripture has come to me from the book of Hebrews, and let me see if someone can cite the scripture in just a moment. Jesus is the door. He's the only lawful way into salvation. He is the one that saves us and gets us started. He is also the shepherd, where we're told in verse number 9, that he takes us out and we go in and out and find pasture and so on. That as the shepherd, he takes us in and out and he keeps us in a saved condition, in a protected condition. Is there a verse in Hebrews that comes to your mind that perhaps speaks about this twofold ministry of Jesus? Anybody? That trigger anything? Hebrews 12. Let's go over to Hebrews 12. Maybe I didn't give you a broad enough hint. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. First part of that. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Couldn't we say, looking unto Jesus, the door and the shepherd? Does that say? The author, he's the one that got us started. He's the door. He's where we began, here's where we entered, and he's also the finisher. He's the one that watches over us. He's the one that completes us. He's the one that sees that we are able to go in and find protection and go out and find food. We go in and out in him. It's in him that we live and move and have our being, Paul said in the book of Acts. All of those things, to me, speak of the ministry of Jesus is what he's describing here. Now, something came up last week after the service, and it was interesting that something that I said towards the end of the class triggered Elizabeth, and she came to me after the class, and as she was sharing, I wasn't able to quite get a hold of what she had, but what she was saying triggered something in me, and just the sharing back and forth brought us to this kind of an understanding, and see if you see this. There's a door here. There's a shepherd here, and there's also a porter here, which is, I don't think this is a coincidence that we see a trinity here. We see the door, who is the Son, that's the entranceway in, don't we? We see the porter, who would the porter be if we were to relate this? The Spirit of God, isn't he the watchman? Isn't he the one that draws us to the, see, we can't come unless we be drawn. Isn't he the one that controls the access? Isn't he? Isn't he the one that brought you to Jesus in the first place? And Psalm 23 and 1 says, the Lord is my shepherd. And we see, well, we know Jesus is our shepherd, and the Bible calls him our chief shepherd. But beyond that, don't we see the Father as a shepherd? More the owner of the flock. But and Jesus the shepherd, but in this case, I think we could see him also as the shepherd. And we see Father, shepherd, Son, door, and a Holy Spirit, porter there. And we see the Trinity here in this little passage of Scripture that I never saw that before until we really, I mean, I've read this passage many, many times, but I never saw that until we start digging in this passage. And then as we begin to share and let the Spirit of God use the entire body to bring these, you bring this revelation for. All right, let's, can we go to the 10th verse just a moment? Let's start at the 7th and then go down through the 10th again. Then said Jesus unto them again, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers. Who is he talking about there? Primarily the Pharisees, the religious leaders of his time. Those, because remember now, in the tail end of chapter 9, this is who this dialogue is with. He's not talking here to believers. He's talking to unbelievers. He's talking to skeptics. He's talking to those who are not receiving his word. He said, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, and he is, in essence, condemning them for thievery and robbery. And he's saying, without saying in so many words, the essence of what he's saying is, you guys are thieves and robbers because you're not entering the lawful way. Here's the door. It's shown to you, but you reject the door, and you're trying to get into the kingdom your own way. You're trying to climb up over the wall. You want the sheep. You want to look after the sheep. In verse number 2, he says that the one that goes through the door is the shepherd of the sheep. And he said, you Pharisees, you profess to be shepherds of the sheep, but you don't have any lawful entryway into the sheepfold. You have no legal right to the sheep. You are not a called custodian of the sheep, but you want in there so badly. You want the sheep so badly. You want their loyalty, and you want their money, and you want their respect, and you want their honor, and you want their admiration, and all of that. And in order to get it, since you refuse to come in through the door, you're climbing up over the walls and trying to get in there in order to get at the sheep. But, he said, verse 8, now this is something very significant, it is to me at any rate, but the sheep did not hear them. What's he saying? He didn't say people didn't hear you. He said the sheep didn't hear you. God's sheep will not listen to thieves and robbers. Now, just because a Pharisee has a grand following does not make him one of God's shepherds. You see, a man can have a grand following. He can have a tremendous flock, quote. But it may not be a flock of sheep. He could have a flock of goats. You know, there are flocks of goats. See, sheep will only hear the shepherd's voice. When the thief comes in, he comes over the wall and he calls the sheep. The true sheep won't listen. See, they won't hear him. Now, he may get some to follow him, but not sheep, not the true sheep. The only two things you can do. One, you can pray. You can pray the prayer of intercession for them. And the second thing you can do is, as you have opportunity, you share the word. Just create such a hunger in them that they are unwilling to settle for anything less than that. But there are those that won't come out. Yeah, some are not sheep. One of the things that you have to be careful of in this kind of a situation is, I'm not going to judge those people, but I know from my own personal experience, a great many of those that we think are sheep aren't really sheep. They act like sheep. They talk like sheep. They make noises like sheep, but they're not sheep. I mean, I've seen a lot of those kind, not sheep. On the other hand, I have seen those that really are truly sheep, and I know that they're sheep. But there are sheep that also are, this is really the only explanation that I can give, that there are all different kinds of sheep. There are sheep that... there are those that really follow the shepherd. You have maverick sheep. You have hermit sheep. I read the book, some of you have read this book, Your Pastor, Your Shepherd by James Beale. Very good book. And he describes the different kind of sheep and compares them to the sheep within the body of Christ. There are the hermit sheep that don't want to go to church and they want to stay all by themselves. You have the sheep that are always looking for greener grass and they're hopping from one pasture to another. You have the maverick sheep, and those are the ones that are never happy, and they're always making life miserable for the rest of the sheep. They go around and bang on the rest of the sheep and just butt them all the time, you know. And they're real sheep, but they are, I put them all in one class, and I call them sheep that are getting ready for the slaughter. And if the shepherd is not really, really looking after them, you know. Then they'll lose it, you know, they'll be slaughtered. And some sheep do. They go into a place where it looks like green pasture and they get out of the shepherd's range and the wolves eat them up. I've seen it right here in this church. We're going to talk in just a minute and we kind of get through this a little bit. And I want to go back and I want to talk about the under-shepherd. I want to talk about the pastor's ministry and the pastor's role, because there's tremendous truth in here and very much insight as to sheep and shepherd and that sort of thing. And one of the things that I would point out, I'll just point it out now, and it seems to be, it's an incredible kind of thing that has happened here in this church. We have had some maverick sheep and some hermit sheep and some green grass, greener grass sheep and so on. And I've watched them in our congregation. I've watched them leave, and I've watched them be devoured, most of them, not all of them. Because some have found another shepherd and, you know, get rightly related to it. But those, most of those who left, most of them that left over a period of time have just, not that they have ceased to become sheep, although some have, but they have, they're just walking in destruction. And they've been devoured and they're bleeding and bloody. It's ugly. Yeah, the verse that really gets me is verse 4 and verse 27. And this is the I don't want to judge people. I don't want to judge these individuals. You can't help but make judgments. You know, you want to say, well, I know those people really love God, or those people don't love God. It's difficult for us not to make judgments. I would just let the word judge. And Jesus said, the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. In verse 27, he's talking about his sheepfold. Now, he's the chief shepherd, and he has responsibility over the entire flock. 27th verse, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now, what Joan is referring to is so common in our denominational churches. The sheep do not hear Jesus' voice. They hear the church's voice. And they do not follow Jesus. They follow the church. I have seen them. I've watched it happen. Some of you have too. Where you can talk to them about, you can talk to them about the Lord, and nothing seems to faze them. But if you talk to them about their church, you say anything that may, you say anything about, you ask them, well, dude, what do you think about your church ordaining homosexuals? Ooh, they will fight you. Ooh, they punch you out. They could sit in a restaurant eating, and the guy in the next booth should say, God damn this and Jesus Christ that, and just use the Lord's name in a blasphemous and profane way. It doesn't faze him. Doesn't faze him, see? Doesn't make any difference. But let that guy whisper something about what's going on in their denomination, and the guy is ready to fight. Now, see, you can tell who his God is there. And the sheep of Jesus Christ follow Jesus, see? You have demonstrated that by your own confession here this morning, that you were not a Baptist sheep, you were a Jesus sheep, see? And so on, you know, I think you get that. This scripture is so important. A person who is a true sheep of Jesus Christ will follow Jesus, not necessarily his denomination. When his denomination departs from Christ, he will choose to follow Jesus. And that doesn't mean that you can't follow Jesus within a denomination. Don't misunderstand me. But where the denomination departs, a true sheep will follow Jesus. So you got to make a choice. And I'm going to tell you something. Everybody's going to come to a point of choice. Everybody. In other words, I see your hand, Roger, but someone, yeah, Elizabeth, who's been trying to get my attention. Yeah, good scripture. Not everyone that says unto me, yeah. Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord. Right. He that doeth the will of my Father. In Matthew, I believe it's the 11th or the 12th chapter. I was really struck by this. Do you remember when Jesus' mother and brothers came to him and he was teaching in the house? And someone came to him and said, "Your mother and your brethren are outside." He said, "Who are my mother and my brothers? But he that doeth the will of my Father." Now, what's he saying? Here are some people that are related to him by the flesh. But he said, my family are those that, not because they have any special relationship, not because they've joined, or not because they're even blood related, those who are part of me are those that do the will of my Father. And I believe that if he were to come into a typical, well, not a typical church necessarily, but into many of our churches, and all the people would rise up to call him brother, I believe he'd have the same kind of statement to make. No, this is not my mother and my brothers and my sisters. My brethren are those that do the will of my Father. And I believe, just, you know, he knows who they are. They just select them, pick them right out.